So, in this passage, in this sign from John's Gospel, we see both miracles and we see misunderstandings. I would suggest that the feeding of the 5,000 is one of the best known passages in the Gospel. It's the turn-to passage for any catering conundrum that we might have. I dare say it's even been uttered a few times here in St. Andrew's Church. I got that picture off our website. Is it not the case that feeding the 5,000 is even part of our vernacular, the common phrases that we use? In fact, if we had a penny for every time we'd use the phrase feeding of the 5,000, well, it's a good chance that we would actually have the 200 denarii, or that half a year's wages that was required for everyone just to have a bite of bread. It is a well-used phrase. It's well-known, and perhaps we even jest about it. I was thinking that if this took place in present day, Jesus would say, how are we going to feed these people? And the disciples would turn around and say, but Lord, none of us have our food hygiene certificate, so we're stuck before we even get started. Here's the thing. It's a familiar passage. It's well known and it's often referred to. But perhaps there's this danger that we get complacent about it. We know that passage. Perhaps we even know some of the details about it, like the fact that the 5,000, well, that was most likely just the men that were counted. There were many more. Perhaps we smile as we think, well, I know these details, I'm familiar with this passage. We use it often and we rattle it off. Yet we're so familiar that we fail to be overawed by the drama, by the wonder of what is taking place. There's this danger that we overlook what is taught to us by this passage. That we overlook the challenge that comes as Jesus presents this challenge to the disciples about how we are going to feed them. How they were going to feed them, and indeed how we are challenged by that as well as we look about all that is in our world. Is there the chance that we overlook these things with such a familiar passage? Well, as we look at this, the fourth of these seven signs, we're going to look a bit more at the miracle that unfolded and how Philip and perhaps the others too as well, they weren't quite ready for that. They were still thinking in terms of practicalities. But also we're going to see how sadly the crowd that was there began to misunderstand who Jesus was and what he was there to do. Have you ever been watching a TV program or reading a book or an article or whatever else and kind of been halfway through and asked yourself, have I seen this before? Or been walking somewhere or gone somewhere that you think is new and think, maybe have I been here before? It seems familiar. Maybe I have. And then it starts to dawn on you that you watched it before or previously, or it was something that you'd seen or whatever else. In life, there are things that we forget, and there's things that we remember, and often it's frustrating, the things that we forget, and it's daft, the things that we remember, that stick in our head forevermore, whether it's the license plate of your... Are we okay? It's good to know we've got good folks on hand. Perhaps sometimes we forget the license. We remember the strangest of details, likes of the license plate that we had as a young child in our parents' car or whatever else. There's things that we forget, like where our car keys are and all the rest, all the useful things. Well, I dare say, though, that there are things that we would never forget. And those tend to be the experiences, the things that have happened in our life where we have seen something marvelous or wonderful take place. There are things that will stick with us forever. Now, at this point in John's Gospel, we've had three signs already recorded, but there would have been many more things that Jesus had done. And I'm inclined to say that these would not be the kind of things that the disciples would have forgotten quickly. Can you imagine being there at the wedding where Jesus turned water into wine? Would you forget something like that quickly? I don't think I would. Remember most weddings that I've been to, let alone one where there is a miraculous event that takes place. Or what about that boy? That boy who had been on death's door. Remember his father came to Jesus pleading. He was in desperation. Do you think you would forget the news that that boy was brought back to life? Do you think you would forget that in a rush? Or what about last week as we heard that man who had been lame for 38 years? Jesus told him to pick up his mat and walk, and he did exactly that. Do you think you would forget these things in a rush? And yet, Jesus presents these things. Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Is it possible that Philip forgot just what Christ was capable of doing? There he is in a flurry. There he is scratching his head, thinking about the practicalities. It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. He's forgotten, has he not, just what Christ is capable of doing. I think there is a challenge for us as we look at Philip's example. There he was, he had been with Jesus, he had seen these miracles, yet he still gets caught up in these practicalities. I think that we need to be careful that we don't get diverted in our thoughts, we don't get diverted in our trust when we are panic-stricken. I don't think we should be too hard on Philip because it's part of human experience, is it not? We just look at the challenges. We look at what is not there, what is not present. And of course, we get flustered by that. For example, here we are, 21st century church, and we know that there are many challenges that face us. We look around and we see empty churches, churches closing, challenges facing the national church. There is a lack of trust in God. And so we think, well, we best come up with some clever strategies. We best come up with things that we can do on our own strength and our own merit. Just as Philip was thinking, well, here's what I need to do. We need to get some money together just to buy enough bread for everyone just to have a bite. And yet, God has done mighty things in the past. God has moved here in this nation in mighty ways in the past. We need to trust that He can do these things again. When we're faced with the challenges that seem impossible, rather than seeing the impossibilities, we ought to be turning and recognizing what God can do. Look at what has been done in the past and trusting in that. But of course, as Jesus does these things, as the crowd are fed, what sadly unfolds is that there is a misunderstanding. A misunderstanding about who Jesus is and what he is there to do. Now, how often have you got the wrong end of the stick this week? How often have you got the wrong end of the stick today? How often have you misunderstood something or not quite grasped it? I'm going to share two examples. The first is a humorous one. I was chatting to someone who had been reading to a wee one the story of In the Night Garden. Now, if you're familiar with this, it's a children's story. They have a TV program and books as well. Now, In the Night Garden, all the characters have the most weird and wonderful names. There's Iggle Piggle, and there's Upsy Daisy, and there's the Tomlyboos, and numerous others. I'm seeing a few folks smiling who have clearly read these and know that, well, basically all the names are funny. There's no Daves or Georges or anything like that. It's all funny names. Well, anyway, this person was reading with a wee one, and they were reading through it, and they came across one called Gazeboo, and they think, well, I'm going to Gazeboo, and they think, well, that's a funny name, but we'll carry on with that. However, it wasn't until a second reading that they realized that actually it was Gazebo. They were going to a gazebo, and they just presumed that actually, in the context of funny and silly names, that actually they'd misread the language that you would think they'd be familiar with. But here's the thing. It's an easy mistake to make. And likewise, if we think of examples in our Christian faith, there is easy mistakes that we make where we think God will be impressed with all that we've done when we try and do things on our own merit and our own wonders, and we think, oh, God will be so chuffed with me, I'll get extra church points, won't he be impressed? Sometimes it's easy to get the wrong end of the stick, to get things confused. And here we see from human experience that this was exactly the case for those who saw what Jesus had done, who tasted the very bread that he had multiplied. Here's what it says. After the people had saw the sign that Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is a prophet who has come into the world. Now, they would have been captivated having seen this take place. No doubt you can imagine the conversations going on as they sat there in the groups and they had that bread and that fish. They would have been captivated. They would have been swept along with the crowd, no doubt. Could this be the prophet they were waiting for? Could this be the prophet that was spoken about by the likes of Moses? And yet they didn't quite grasp it. Later on, Jesus is interacting with the same crowd, and it takes place later on in the same chapter. But he says this to them in verse 35. This is after they've come in search of him. Very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. They'd seen the miraculous things that Jesus could do, and they wanted more of the miraculous. They had got the wrong end of the stick. They didn't quite understand what Jesus was there to do. But here's the thing, it doesn't just stop there. Because in this challenge, we see a step towards faith. Jesus challenges them about why they're there, but he doesn't leave them high and dry. He goes on to explain who he is and what he's there to do. Here's a quote and here's a challenge I'd like you to reflect on. It says this: if we are satisfied and sustained by the bread made abundant, how much more ought we be astounded by the news that Jesus is the bread of life, who relieves us of our eternal hunger and thirst? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Therefore, I read that again. If we are satisfied and sustained by the bread made abundant, how much more so ought we be astonished by the news that Jesus is the bread of life, who relieves us of our eternal hunger and thirst? They were waiting and longing for a ruler. They had high hopes and all the rest. And yet, they didn't quite understand who Jesus was. But there in the explaining, there in the sharing, is this journey towards belief, going from misunderstanding to understanding. And what we realize, as is the gospel account, is that some did understand and some chose not to. Some chose to reject that. But here in John's gospel, we see these accounts. These accounts where the miraculous take place, where there is misunderstanding about Jesus. Here is this familiar account feeding of the 5,000 will rattle off, no doubt, perhaps even in the next week, whenever we're faced with getting a meal together for lots of people. But as much as we're familiar with it, there is this challenge. Do we grasp what Christ is able to do? Do we grasp what he is able to do in the situations that we face? Now, it's in our nature, is it not, to be like Philip and think, oh, but we can't. Here's the excuses. Here's the challenges. Have you an idea how much it would cost? I would suggest, like we've been thinking with Philip, is that we should look back at what experience tells us. Take, for example, when we look out and we see the many people who don't know Jesus, people who are caught up in desperation, loneliness, despair. When we look out and think upon these people and think, well, it'd be really hard to share the gospel with them. How often do we think back to our own story, to the miracle that Christ brought about in our lives, in calling us to be a part of his family? How often do we look back to what has been in our own story and the story here in the church as we think of the challenges that are ahead? Jesus asked that question to Philip, where to buy bread? No doubt for us today there are questions, there are challenges. I think perhaps one that would resonate is, do you believe? Do you trust? Do you trust in the power of Jesus and what he is able to do? What he has done in our lives and what he is able to do in the lives of many others? Let's pray together.